Right now, there may be frogs in your life. You see, in the Old Testament, there was one plague. The water turned to blood was the first one. But the second plague was what we're going to talk about a little bit. One more night with the frogs. And Father, I just pray that you allow me to give this message the way you want me to give it, that it speaks to people's hearts, that it's centered on you and focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 8. 1-4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and in your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people and into your ovens and kneading troughs.'" So get this picture. He's saying, tell Pharaoh, how many of you don't like frogs? You may think, oh, frogs. Well, the thing was, in Egypt, the frogs were worshipped. It's kind of like India with the cows. They're viewed as sacred. So if you see a frog, it could be a good thing. The other thing was, they won't kill a frog. So a plague of frog comes, and it's getting into their beds, it's getting into their troughs, it's getting into their bakeries. Here a frog, there a frog, everywhere a frog, frog. Frogs everywhere you look, there are frogs. That would get old really quick. Something that they worshipped, other than God, was now impeding their life. Something that they worshipped other than God was now getting into every area of their life, and they weren't able to live normally. How many times does that happen in our lives? How many frogs are all over the place getting in our way? At first, it might have been cute. Oh, we used to have a fountain in the back of our house, and there's a little bitty green frog, and we used to love that little fountain, and we'd go, oh, the little green frog's there. But you know what? A whole slew of frogs would not have been cute. It goes on, and it says, 5-6, "The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up out of the land of Egypt.'" So all of a sudden it happens. Boom. The frogs start coming. "So Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered," say covered, "covered the land." That tells me they were everywhere. You couldn't even walk anywhere without a frog. "Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged." Now this is the leader of Egypt begging Moses, who is in slavery with the rest of the Israelites, begging him. You know, when God's on your side, nothing can really stop you. I mean, the enemy comes, people come. But when you ever know somebody that really knows God? I mean, really knows God. And the authority they walk in. I remember Lyndon Ravenhill when I was in Bible college. And he was from England in his 80s. And he was just one of the best speakers I'd ever heard, one of the best pastors I've ever heard. And he talked about the pastors at that time. Ronald Reagan was in, now you know how old I am. Ronald Reagan was in office. And a lot of the pastors were having breakfast with Ronald Reagan. They were having presidential breakfast. That sounds really cool, right? I'm a pastor and I'm going to have breakfast with the president of the United States. And they were kind of touting that around, that they were part of this breakfast team. And I remember it was a group of pastors that we were ministering to, and some of them had actually gone there. And he got up, he says, "So I hear some of you had breakfast with the president this morning." Well, I can top that. I had breakfast with God this morning. Amen. You see, sometimes in our life, we don't understand that God, well, we know with our head, but with our spirit, created the heavens and the earth with one word from his voice. Ephesians said, with one word, he spoke everything into existence. And then with that same word, he still upholds everything in existence. That's powerful. That same blood that flows from him spiritually now flows through you. So you can tap into the authority that he has. See, I'm not really worried about what the devil's going to do to me, because I know the creator of everything. And his royal blood flows through my veins. And I can tap into that authority. It's knowing your position and who you are in Christ. Not a victim, but a victor. So he says, so they can offer sacrifice to the Lord. You set the time, Moses replied. So Moses is saying, okay, Pharaoh, you set the time. Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials and your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs that remain only in the Nile River. Would it out. God is saying, tell him this. So Moses says, Pharaoh, tell me when. You're saying all of these things that are coming in your life that are hindering you and that are in your beds and in your bakeries and on the everything that's causing this havoc in your life can be, with one swoop, driven away. Just tell me when. And the next words puzzle me, will always puzzle my heart and mind. Because you know what his response is? Do it now? No. He says, tomorrow. Tomorrow? Tomorrow? Okay, everything that's bothering you, all of this pestilence right now that's driving you crazy, that's causing the havoc, in one swoop, I'll drive it away. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. But how many times in our life do we have the same thing going on, yet we say, tomorrow we will deal with the frogs. Tomorrow I'll deal with those things in my life. Tomorrow. God, I know you can do it. Tomorrow I'll focus. Tomorrow I'll really get serious about serving you. Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to start my prayer time. Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to really start fellowshipping with the right people. Tomorrow. Yet the frogs are constantly infecting and infesting our fields and our life. One more night with the frogs. What are the frogs in your life? Pride. Pride is probably the biggest frog that we face in our life. Pride is not just thinking you're really good. You see, there's another side to pride, and this is the part that people really don't get, and it's that false humility is what I call it. Pride is, it can be boastful where you're, oh, I'm so good, I can do all these things, oh, I sing so great, or I'm, you know, I want everybody to see me. And then the false humility is, oh, I can't do anything, I'm worthless, I don't know why anybody would like me. Both are pride, because pride is really focusing everything upon yourself. So you can be saying, I'm so good, which generally is honestly an indication that you're really insecure. I mean, people who are very boastful and prideful, usually very insecure. And the other is saying, oh, I'm worthless. You're still focusing on yourself instead of focusing on him. Pride could be a frog in your life. Another frog in your life could be bitterness and unforgiveness. Those are the frogs that probably will taint and keep you from going forward in victory more than any other area in your life. Bitterness and unforgiveness. I had someone just this past week saying, I'm to the point to where I'm just about to walk in that forgiveness. Tomorrow! Now, it's a process. But bitterness, if you hold on to it, will destroy you. Every time. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's really what it is. I mean, you try so hard. Oh, let me tell you what they did. People do some really horrible things to you. They've done some horrible things to you. They've done horrible things to me, too. They've done horrible things to each other. People are mean and hateful. Like those people in New Orleans posting those pictures of king cake. Hateful. I'm like, please stop. I'm from New Orleans, and all my friends are posting king cakes. I've said, you guys are hateful. I can't get that here. But that bitterness is just a trick of the devil to keep you with the frogs in your life. And when you get to the point, and some of you who work through a process and you just can't cross that threshold because you're thinking, okay, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'm going to leave it alone. No, don't leave it alone. Deal with it and move forward. Sometimes you have to go to that person and say, you know what? Forgive me for my bitterness, even if they've offended you. That's hard. Even if you were innocent, say, you know what? I'm not going to come to you telling you what you did wrong. I'm saying I've been angry at you and I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. Now, there are some wise, some smart things to do. If they don't know anything's going on, this is where we get into the use your head. You have no idea that I was upset with you. Sheena, I want you to forgive me for being mad at you. Thank you. Boom. Walk in. She's like, what did I do to you? So they use wisdom when you're forgiving. But those are two of the most powerful forces that will change your life if you can walk in grace and forgiveness. The other part of forgiveness is yourself. God is not a God that requires you penitence. He does not want you to beat yourself up and to hurt yourself or do penitence in order to earn his grace. Repentance is believing that he paid for you on the cross and walking in that truth. Penitence is saying, I need to pay for that. There's a big difference. Repentance was accepting what he's done and saying, I'm going to turn away from that way and walk toward the cross or toward Christ. That's repentance. Gluttony. Ooh. Hear a hallelujah? Yeah. All the skinny people are like, woo, glory. Not preaching about me. When I was in Bible college, it was kind of funny because, woo, they would talk about certain sins. Oh, man. They would talk about, I don't know if you guys said the same thing, drinking. Woo, those who didn't drink. Woo, amen, pastor. You know, gossip. Woo, amen. Gluttony. Cricket. Because we are a country of indulgence. You go down the street and all you see is fast food places and you see bakeries and you see king cakes and you see everything. When we go home, my mom actually buys Ed a full birthday cake so he can have a birthday cake every time we go home because he likes the cakes from the bakery. Sinful. But these are areas in our life that can be frogs if we don't deal with it. The issue, folks, is not that we're going to condemn ourselves, but saying, that's something I need to deal with. Maybe overeating is a reason that you might be a stress eater. So instead of eating when you get stressed, find another way to get rid of that frog and do something else productive in your stress. Amen? We'll move on for that. I see stones coming out already. Other kinds of addictions. Alcohol, drugs. Alcohol in itself is not bad. You can drink. This church, please, you can drink. Ooh, we've got new members joining right now. Not a problem. Biblically, it doesn't say you can't drink, does it? Did Jesus turn the water into wine? Yes, he did. Sorry, Baptists, it wasn't unfermented, or else the people at the wedding wouldn't have thought it was so good. But it's being drunk that he says. If you have to be dependent on something else, that's the sin. That's the frog. There's nothing wrong with having a drink, but if you can't do without that drink, then that's the problem. That's the disease. That's the frog that has to be dealt with. And it can be. And it absolutely can be. All these can be. Procrastination may be a frog in your life. Tomorrow, not only tomorrow, next week, next year. This is an area in our life, if we really let God work, how much more productive in the kingdom we be. But procrastination can be caused by certain things. One of them is a fear of failure. Some people won't do things because they're afraid they're going to do it wrong. Well, let me tell you, there's something called grace if you do something wrong. But if you just sit there and not do anything, then you're sitting back and robbing God of and us of his gifts within you. Procrastination. We actually visited an island in the Caribbean called Martinique years ago on a cruise. Oh, it was a cruise from hell. Oh, Lord. That was the first church cruise. It wasn't this church, but let me tell you, Ed, that was the worst cruise we've ever been on, wasn't it? Yeah, quickly he says yes. Thank God this past cruise wasn't like that. You guys were great. That's why we started with worship. But let me tell you, this cruise that we took was with a church, and everybody thought they had to do every single thing together at the same time the entire cruise. Because, you know, some people just want to relax. And some people like, you know, Maddie, who's 78, wants to be doing everything. So we stop at Martinique, And we go and they talk about this place in Martinique. In 1902, Mount Pelee exploded. The volcano exploded in Martinique, and a big lava form came down and just covered the entire city. Over 30,000 people were dead. You can go there, you can see the it's like Pompeii, where the remains are petrified in rock. It covered them. Do you know that a week before that took place, there was a big boulder in part of a mudslide that started coming down from there? Tomorrow we'll do it. The people could have left. The officials could have said, let's move to the other side of the island. Oh, tomorrow. It's not that bad yet. It's going to, tomorrow. A week before. And every day, more and more came down until finally the huge lava form came down and they did not have enough time. That's procrastination. It'll set you in stone and keep you there, paralyzed, if you allow it to. Procrastination. Lust, promiscuity. Just because we're gay doesn't mean we throw the Bible out when it comes to promiscuity. Unless you're in a committed monogamous relationship, you shouldn't be sleeping around. Biblical, yes or no? Yes. Have a problem, go to the Bible. Didn't write it? And he's not doing it to have things and rules for you to follow. He's doing it to protect you. Every time you sleep with someone, you're giving a part of yourself and a part of your soul to that person, and you become a broken, fragmented person because you're all over the place. You're all over the city, all over the world because you've given your heart and your soul away. Oh, it's just a physical act. It is not. It is a spiritual and a physical act. The two shall be one. That's good preaching. Jealousy, fear, those two areas in our life can even take place in the church. Jealousy. I've heard people say this to me. You know, I'm really jealous that so-and-so is on the worship team. I'm thinking, why would you be jealous of that? Because I'm just jealous. I wish I could sing like that. Or I wish I could play, I do actually wish I could play the trumpet like you. We all do. And that's okay. But when that jealousy kind of eats at you, then there's a problem. Do you know that you have so many gifts? And I think there are people in here that sit back. I think there's so many gifts in you and you have no idea what God wants to do in you because they're untapped. If you don't have external gifts like that, it's hard sometimes to find those. But let me tell you, each one of you have a special gift inside of you and God wants to tap that gift for his kingdom and for you. Do you know just holding all your gifts in and holding everything you have will cause you to go stale and dead? In the Old Testament, it talked about two seas are still there, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The only difference, both are fed by the same water from the River Jordan. The Sea of Galilee is at the top. The Dead Sea is going to be at the bottom. So the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee. There's fish. That's where the fish were at, where the fishers went. That's where the storm took place. That's where they cast their nets. Jesus said, cast your nets, and they pulled them up, and all these fish came up. That same body of water continues and feeds the Dead Sea. Nothing is alive in the Dead Sea. Not a thing. Do you know why? Because water is only flowing in, not out. You have to have water flowing in to bring life, and you have to have water flowing out. So ask God, what are my gifts? What areas of my life can I be used in for your kingdom? And that's going to bring life into your walk with God and into your relationship with him. Fear is the other one. 365 times in the Bible, he says, fear not. One for every day. I love it. There's not a day that goes by that you have to be scared. Fear not. Don't be afraid. He is in control. I don't care what things look like, what things may sound like, what people are saying. He is in control. How do you still have frogs in your life? Why do we still have frogs in our life? One, we really don't view them as a big deal. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, thank you. That's really the big reason. Well, they're just a little thing. My unforgiveness, they really did some really mean things to me. We don't really view them that big of a deal. That could be one of the reasons why they're still there. Another reason could be we believe that because we decided we are going to deal with them, that we already have dealt with them. I'm going to deal with that issue, Lord. So that box is checked. No, that was just the Holy Spirit bringing it up, saying, now it's time to deal with that issue. We view them as mountains that we can't get over. Sometimes there's things that seem so huge that you're saying, God, I can't do this. That's when we tap into his power. That's when you tap into his authority. Don't look at the end. You see, we look at, I got to get to that goal. No, we walk in grace, and it's one step by step by step. He's about the process, not really about the end result. But if we learn, I tell people this, you will not have grace for Tuesday this week. Won't have it. When Tuesday comes, you will. But you're going to have grace for today. You go to bed, when you wake up, he's going to give you grace for tomorrow. Don't try to solve all of your issues a week from now. Or a month from now. Or saying, how from a year from now? Oh, a year from now, how am I going to figure out where I'm going to live? Who knows what's going to happen a year from now? Today, you walk in grace. I know today, this is what God has for me. My steps are ordered. I'm going forward in him. I'm ahead. I'm going right where he wants me to be. Today. Tomorrow comes, you declare the same thing. Because he is a fluid God. You know how we talked a little bit earlier about the worship and about music? If you think of the Holy Spirit as a river in our life, how many of you live near a river or been on a river very often? I'm from New Orleans, so you have the Mississippi, and it bends constantly. And that's why it's called the Crescent City, because it goes in a crescent around the city. Rivers go, depending on the flow of the water, will go in different areas. And that's how God's going to be our life. How boring would it be if we just always went just the same direction constantly? Well, that's a boring life. But with God, there's ebb and flow. There are times in our life when it's kind of rough. There are times in our life when it's kind of peaceful, and it flows, and it covers so much more ground. And I think about it this way. When you go in the river, you see a lot of debris sometimes that gets thrown in when there's floods. It's the same thing in your life. If you let the Holy Spirit really begin to direct you, you're going to be bringing in all kinds of things from the shore. You're going to be touching people in their lives, and they can't help but get caught up in your current because you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a little stream. All of a sudden, that stream, and when all the waters come together, say this church, when all of these waters come together, you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, the shores are getting affected, and people who were over here and had nothing to do with the river are now in part of a flood and get drawn into the river. It's a good river. You're not going to drown in the river. You may think sometimes you're going to drown in the river, but he's in control of that river. I admit there's frogs in my life. How do I deal with the frogs? What do I do to get rid of those frogs in my life? The first thing, decide today, not tomorrow. We're not promised another day here. There may be something that takes place. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're not promised another day here. Decide today, okay, don't do all your frogs at one time. Say, God, what is the frog? What is the thing in my life that I really need to focus on that you want to help get me delivered of so that I can be more in tune for you, with you, and do more for your kingdom and be more like you? Those things. It's not about, I don't know how to explain this. This is really hard. It's not about doing things to make him happy. It's about getting rid of things. It's grace and not law. Does that make sense? It's not you're doing these things to make God happy. It's getting rid of these things to make you more abundant and the abundant life. Release. It's like if you're able to get rid of the frogs, all of a sudden you're going to be able to breathe in the Spirit. You're going to be able to live in the Spirit in a different way. It's not going to seem tedious or taskful. It's going to seem graceful and joyful. It's going to be different. You've been going through the most difficult time of your life, yet still you hear his voice and sense his presence. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. And so many times we get told, don't do this, don't do that. That's not what we're saying. There are things that are purging your spirit and almost like putting holes in your spirit. And you're kind of like just, the life is flowing out. Does that make sense? And that's what it's about, releasing those things that are toxic in your life. There it is. Releasing those things that are toxic in your life so that you can have true life. Have you ever had a toxic relationship? You don't have to raise your hand. Well, okay, our whole church has, so. So you know what I'm saying. I mean, you could say, you know, somebody could say, don't do this, but when you finally get to a point where you release that, and you say, wow, how did I live in that for so many years? You didn't, but you didn't realize it. And all of a sudden, when you begin to release these things, you're like, wow, I didn't realize what that bitterness was doing to me. I didn't realize what those addictions were really doing to me. I just thought it's the way I coped with my problems. He's the way we cope with our problems. How do we deal with them? One, we decide today. Two, prayer and worship. Let me tell you, worship is one of the best ways to get rid of the frogs in our life. Worship is not a one-way street where we just sing to God. He speaks to us during worship. You see, praise is that one way. We praise God for his greatness. We extol him. But then worship is when we come face to face and he speaks to us. That's worship. That's the powerful part. The praise is the great part to get us there. But man, that worship is when we come in contact with his presence. I hear things that come into a worship. In the middle of worship here, I'll just hear things God speak to me. And sometimes I have to jot them down. I'm like, wow, I need to get back to this. That's the worship. How do we deal with frogs? Quit speaking about the mountain and begin speaking to the mountain. He said, you shall say, this mountain, if you speak to the mountain, it shall be removed. In the name of Jesus, you know what? I no longer have to live under this. I don't have to live in unforgiveness. I receive grace for that, and I release that person in Jesus' name that's speaking to that mountain of unforgiveness. Now, some of us want to hold on to it because it's an identity. This is not, you know, actually, this is very old. You know when I bought this coat? 1982. I know that because I was in college, my first year in college. So, look, everything comes back in style, right? So, 1982, in Baton Rouge. This coat I'm comfortable in. Now, I don't wear it that often, but suppose I wore it every day. From 1982, I guarantee you, it would look pretty bad. Some of you are like, well, it doesn't look so great now, but what do you mean? It could look really, really, really bad if I wore it every day. But some of us, if we wore the things every day, we're so comfortable on that we put on that. I could give you a brand new coat and you say, no, I'm going to take this other coat that I've worn for 20 years because I'm comfortable in it. And everybody's saying, but that coat stinks. It's ragged. It's got holes in it. It doesn't even fit you because you're not quite the size you were 20 years ago. But you're comfortable in it. Some of you are so comfortable in living in unforgiveness that when that comes forward, you're afraid to release it because you don't know what that's going to be like. That's truth. Speak to that. Say, you know what, God? I'm taking this coat off. Clothe me with forgiveness. Clothe me with grace. Clothe me with the new life. If you don't speak to your mountains will speak to you. If I don't speak to those frogs in my life, they're going to dictate. And I guarantee you, it comes out some way along the line. We may not see it right now, but it comes out in areas further down the line. And if we could just get to the point to where we begin to deal with those frogs in our life, one by one, we're going to see more and more freedom as we walk forward and more of those mountains that are removed. Amen. Would you stand with me 1 second? Yeah, you can go play. Father, I thank you that you, one, are all-powerful, that there is nothing that you can't do. So many times we fall into the same trap and that same frog over and over again because we just feel like we have no other choice. Right now, I pray for hope to begin to choose and change those lies and those things in our life that have kept us in those places. Your word says you came to restore us, to heal us, to bring us life and life abundantly. And Father, we want to release those areas in our life that are holding us back. Fear, unforgiveness, addictions, those things that are keeping us back. Not tomorrow, but we choose today. It's a choice today.